Wayne Gretzky joins us now. How are you?
Good. How are you guys doing today?
Very good. Darren Millard along with Nick Kiprios and Doug McLean. I want to chat with you about this Patrick Kane story that that continues to grow with 23 straight games. When did you start feeling it? When do we expect Patrick Kane to start feeling the pressure on this consecutive point streak?
believe me, he's feeling it right now. You know, you get to a certain point, 14, 15, 16 games, and I think back in those days, and, you know, it's a long time ago, I think LaFleur had the record of, might have been 33 or 34, I can't remember, but people start talking about it then, you know, how much longer can you go? And then once you get to a certain point, like Kane is at now, at 20, 21, 22, 23, all of a sudden all your teammates start thinking about it too, and they start looking for you. So, you know, it's part of it, you know, and that's what makes it fun. It makes it exciting, no question.
We've seen Patrick extend this thing the last couple of games real late with empty netters. How close did your record come to being snuffed that late in games? And do you recall empty netters?
Oh, yeah. Listen, when you have something like that, you got to get lucky. You know, you got to stay injury-free. You got to have, you know, you're going to have a bad game where you need to get that second assist to keep it going. And then, of course, the empty net. The game I remember most was game 46, was in Chicago, ironically enough. And I had zero on the board, and I think we were winning 4-3 with a minute to go in the game. And I scored an empty net goal, I believe, with about 7 seconds left. But the thing that was funny about it was Orville Tessier was coaching the Blackhawks then, and when he pulled the goalie, the fans started booing. And I remember reading the paper the next day and Orville saying, that's the first time I've ever been booed for trying to win a game.
So just on a little different topic, they essentially got rid of 3-on-3s because of you in the game, right?
4-on-4 because we had dialed it in pretty good.
What do you think of what Goudreau's doing 3-on-3? Have you had a chance to watch him the way he's been on 3-on-3? And should they get rid of 3-on-3 because of him now?
I hope they don't, because I think it's one of the best things we've done in hockey in the last 20 years. It's exciting for the fans. I know some of the players sort of complained about it, but I think all in all, most players like it. I think it's exciting. I think it's fun. And you know, if you practice it, you get better at it. And here we were, a team in Edmonton, and Sather, Muckler, and Green, we practiced 4-on-4 every single day. And Messier and Anderson and myself and Curry, we sort of mastered it. And instead of everybody grabbing hold of that and getting themselves on board, we changed the rule and said, okay, we're going to get rid of that. Because people thought we were taking coincidental penalties on purpose to get 4-on-4s, which is absolutely ridiculous. That never happened. But I think it's fun for the game, and I think it's exciting. I think it's great to watch.
Go ahead.
One other little thing, then I'll let Kippy take over here because he's all excited you're on, Wayne. I mean, I am too, but he's more excited.
Yes.
I listened to Slats last night, and they asked him about you and his interview, and he said, the one thing about Wayne, and this was, I thought, bizarre. He said, the thing about Wayne that I never saw with any other player is he could walk on his toes backwards. When the hell did you walk on your toes backwards, and what's that all about?
Well, that was the best compliment he gave me. I must have done a lot of bad things.
I couldn't believe he said
it. Like a moonwalk.
I thought, is he talking about Wayne at a bar, at a dance club, or what?
You know what? The funny thing was, Koff and I both wore size 9.5 shoes, and we both wore like a size 6 3/4 skate. So by the time we got to the ice, our feet were so sore. And it was really crazy. If you watch Paul and I walk from the locker room to the ice, you could never think either one of us could skate. But once we got on the ice, we felt comfortable. So we used to walk around in the locker room because our feet were so sore, and that's probably what he's talking about.
Wayne, I listen to people now. They have these conversations on what does 23-game point consecutive streak for Patrick Kane in year 2015 mean compared to Wayne Gretzky's 51 in the 80s. And I say a game's a game in any era, and that's where it stops. But do you buy into the fact that it might be more difficult to do what Pat's done for 23 games than it would have been in the 80s?
Well, listen, I don't think it's more difficult, but I do think the players are better today. So what he's going through is probably maybe a little bit more challenging than what I had to go through. But, you know, to get 51 is still a lot of games, and it's hard to do. But I understand what everyone's saying. The goaltenders in general are better today. The defense is better today. The players are bigger and stronger. So what he's doing, he should be proud of. And, you know, Phyllis Mizzito was there when I got 77, and Gordie Howe was there when I broke his record, and it was great to see Bobby Hull there when Patrick broke his record. And we always look at it the same way. You know, we did what we did when we played. We worked as hard as we could. We're proud of what we accomplished, and that's it. And, you know, if Patrick can keep this going, good for him. It's great for hockey. And if he gets to 50-51, I'll be the first guy to go to the game. So
be nice if it's 49, though, Wayne. You don't really.
You don't want to lose that one,
no,
Wayne.
No, keep that record.
If I was you, I'd cheer against that one.
Totally.
I like that record.
Totally.
Listen, I look at it two ways. If he gets 52, that's wonderful. It breaks my record, but I can still hold on to the fact that I got 51 from the start of the season. So we can both claim a record.
Oh yeah, that's right. Exactly.
Wayne Gretzky's with us on Hockey Central at noon with Darren Millard, Nick Kypreos, and Doug McLean. I love the commercial that you do with Canadian Tire and talking about that the office behind the net. And I've never had a chance to ask you, when did that start, you being so effective behind the net, and how did it come about?
Yeah, well, it was pretty simple. I was 14 years old. I was going to play Bantam hockey in Toronto. They told me I couldn't play, so my choices were Upper Canada College to play high school hockey, go back home to Brantford, which I didn't want to do, or play Junior B. Now, Junior B, I was 5'6", 125 pounds. And the coach told me, he said, you know what, you could play at this level. And he told me for hours and hours and days to watch Bobby Clark. He's not that big. He plays out of the corner behind the net. I played Junior B at 14 years old, and I started playing behind the net, which was something new for everyone. I sort of just kept continuing to play from back there from the age of 14, 15, 16, all the way through. And so it was just the fact that I was playing Junior B at such a small size, and that's how I started playing back behind the net.
Why don't more guys do that? Because you've created so much.
A lot of things have changed in the game. You know, hitting the late guy. You know, very rarely now do you see guys hit the late guy. You know, Crosby does it, Kane does it, Taves does it. But all in all, most players just sort of on the rush go right to the net because we're taught at such a young age now, crash the net, go to the net. So the game has changed. And so a lot of the play now goes back to the point. It's get it to the middle and everybody get to the net and crash the net. So the game itself has changed, and that's why it's so different.
And where it's changed is the lack of scoring, and we've had a lot of talk about different things, shrinking the equipment, the net smaller. But I want to ask you about coaching, and have we kind of killed the feel for the offense because we're so defensive minded now, and that is the way coaches look good, they save their jobs, is they it's all about defense and protecting your goal, and it's almost as if we score, it's a bonus. And yeah. Do you ever recall a coach really telling you, listen, I just want you in protecting our net first?
Did somebody ever tell Wayne Gretzky to play a 200-foot game?
Did they snuff your offense? Did you ever feel like you just, it was more important to play defense?
Probably not till I got to the NHL, and not probably till we got to the Stanley Cup playoffs, and each and every guy was pulled aside and said, listen, you know, Mark, if you play defensive, and Yeri and Gretz, if you guys concentrate, it'll seep through the hockey club. So we were such an explosive offensive team in the regular season, but we realized we weren't going to win a Stanley Cup unless we bared down defensively. But I never had coaches like that. I was always given my creativity and my imagination just to go. And you're right, the game has changed now. You know, there's so much more discipline at a young age. Kids are taught, don't leave your wing. Defensemen are taught, stay at home, move the puck up the wall. We've lost some creativity and imagination, but that's just what we go through. And it's a cycle. And right now our cycle is everything's defensive. Everything is strict. It's a streamline, and there's not a lot of circling right now, and that's just the way the game is right now.
Do we need to get it back?
Oh, I don't know if it'll come back right now. you know, you still got your guys like Kane and Taves and Crosby and Ovechkin. There's still guys like that. But the majority of the players now come through the ranks of midget hockey, bantam hockey, junior hockey, and they know how to play defensive, solid hockey. It's a different era right now.
But, you know, I remember coaching against you, and our whole pregame would be, this is how we're going to stop Wayne Gretzky tonight. And we'd show the clips and looking for the late guy, and he's always looking for the late guy. And you know what? And we did the same with Lidstrom. This is what we're going to do with Lidstrom. This is how we're going to forecheck Lidstrom. And you know what, Wayne? It didn't work. So, you know, the coaching then wasn't that much. It seems to be, and I know there's more systems maybe, but, I mean, we work to shut the Stars down, and some guys are just too good to shut down. Just too good to shut down. And I'll never forget Brian Murray. I was on the bench with Brian, assistant coach, and him yelling at Sather, "We'll see how smart you are when Gretzky leaves, Sather." I said, "Brian, do we have to go there tonight?"
We can't wait that long, Brian.
Brian and I had you on our bench, Kiprios, and Sather had Gretzky.
We really appreciate you taking the time. And on the weekend with Ron and going down into the rumpus room and the tour of the house, that was really cool to watch with you with Walter.
We had a great day. I wanted to really be part of Brantford because it was so good to me. So it was great to be part of it.